You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
It is now 11 minutes past four, and it's time for us to welcome back His Lordship. Hello, Steve Reed. How are you?
I'll go call him quickly, Richard. Richard, I'm well, and listeners, also great to be back. And today, I've got a visitor, but not such a visitor that we are unfamiliar with, and that's Anton Kaler. And Anton, there are many things that I so thoroughly enjoy about you.
Really?
But, yeah, but two things that I love about you is that you enjoy reading, stroke, listening to business books, etc. And the second thing is that I think your love for and your passion for youth is—it's actually very exciting to observe that.
It's so, inspiring, is the word I would use.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard.
I'm just saying.
Yep. So before we launch into what you're going to cover today about discovering the genius, etc., but before we do that, in 2 weeks' time, we are now in the month of June. And June is Youth Month. So in 2 weeks' time, when I'm traveling, Anton's going to very kindly step in, and he'll be interviewing one or two of the winners of the Youth Start Cape Town competition in the category existing businesses. Remember, we had Justin here from last year? Well, we're going to have one or two young people here in 2 weeks' time. I think it's the 18th, I think. That'll be fantastic. And then, because we're on a bit of a roll here, coming up in July, it's Women's Month. So we must just bear in mind we're going to bring in some women, lady entrepreneurs, etc.
But I was just thinking, goodness me, I see Anton in a dress.
No, that could be the mind boggles. Okay, Anton. So let's talk to me about that amazing book by Patrick Lencioni.
Well, good afternoon, listeners, and Steve and Richard. Lovely to be here once again. And thank you for celebrating and acknowledging Youth Month. It is also the most talked about topic in our country right now, and having gone through past elections just recently, we have seen the youth come out and the youth speak, and we have seen that the youth are not passive. They are interested in the future, and they are using their collective voice to also speak into what that future, they want the future to look like. So definitely nice to have some of that, those young people and their voices in here. So well done, and thank you for doing that. The topic that you've introduced a couple of weeks ago, discovering the genius in your team, is a interesting topic in the sense of, I think the most interesting part there is probably the word genius. It's not a word we commonly use.
Association with the team.
Yes, and it's not something that we refer to one another as geniuses generally. We think of geniuses as Albert Einstein and Elon Musk and Leonardo da Vinci and people with extreme high IQs, etc. And that is how we today have come to understand genius, because of the intellectual quotient, IQ. And so there's a bit of a misnomer around that, where we've ended up in society today, which I think will be helpful to unpack first, to give us a bit of background of this term and this word genius. And once I think we can paint that background, we can start filling in some of the more current parts of the picture that will be more relatable, I think, especially for our entrepreneurs out there and our business leaders out there, and anyone really who is leading something.
Good.
This includes moms who are stay-at-home executives, because you don't stay at home very often if you're a mom. that is a stay-at-home executive, because you are busy planning, you are busy with logistics, you are constantly organizing, and you are leading. You are leading a part of your system and your environment. And so that is a crucial role to play. It's an entrepreneurial role. If I see how my wife has to juggle so many things and thoughts and navigate the unexpected constantly, I think some of our best entrepreneurs are mums, you know, that are seemingly stay-at-home mums, you know. But so let's just unpack some of this background first before I share a bit more about this remarkable book that I've engaged with by Patrick Lencioni. So the origin of genius, the idea of a genius, really originated in ancient Rome. And the Romans believed that all people had what they referred to as a guiding spirit that attended them throughout their lives. And because the spirit was born with a person, it was called a genius. Hmm. Now that, of course, came from the Latin verb gignere, meaning to give birth or bring forth, which also happens to be the root of our word, generate.
Okay.
So perhaps first off, what I'm finding interesting here in that little blurb is that we refer to it as genius when the root word is gen, not gene.
Okay.
So it's got nothing to do with your genes, first and foremost. It's to generate.
Hmm.
Right? And of course the word generate is also connected to the word create. So suddenly, very quickly, we're going to move away from the idea of intellect only. But let's see what they said in back then and how it evolved further. They said that a person's genius dictated their unique personality and disposition. So this would have been this guiding spirit. So if a person had an outstanding talent or ability, it was believed that this was due to their genius. And from there, it was a natural step for the word genius to be used not only of the spirit that inspired a talent, but also of the talent itself. So when the word was first used in English, people still talked about having a genius, not being a genius.
Okay.
So your genius was your exceptional ability or talent or gift, and it was a natural, God-given talent.
Sure.
And in that time, going back, it was the same. It was a deity that produced this beautiful talent. And so the ideas about guiding spirits eventually kind of gave way to a more rational explanations of mental ability. And we love to rationalize things in life, especially the things we cannot fully comprehend or understand with our incredible minds. We rationalize it and then we understand them. So there's a desire of the human being wanting to continuously be the all-knowing geniuses of the world, which is absolutely not actually the reality. Nevertheless, it brought about a further development of the use of the word genius. It was now applied to a person who displayed the remarkable talent, so that as well as talking about somebody having a genius, you could also say that they were a genius. Mm-hmm. Somebody is a genius. And so looking at the mental ability, that is where eventually in the early 40s, the IQ test was developed and designed. And so from there, we all just inherited a limited understanding that somebody with an IQ of over 140 plus for that test was a genius.
Okay.
That's it. And so we
very
then,
limiting.
Absolutely. In fact, we've robbed ourselves of the God-given genius that is within every person in some way, shape, or form. And so consider the phrase, when we're sitting with a problem, or you've been struggling with something here in the studio for years. Something just doesn't work or something, Richard. And suddenly one day, Anton walks in and he looks at this contraption you have here with the microphone. And I go and I say, oh, have you ever thought of just turn that there and clip, it's fixed. And you go, oh my goodness, that's.
Why didn't I think of that?
And you think, that's absolutely genius.
Yes.
Right?
You're right.
Right. We've said that. We see someone do something that's so simple, but so creative, so, and you're like, that is so, that is genius. Mm. Or, how do you do that, Steve? Mm. I've noticed every time when you walk into a room at Sozo among the youth, you just, you have a way to just connect on a level with young people from very diverse walks of life, and immediately the environment, the atmosphere just shifts. And I'm like, that is just genius, how you just connect with them. Mm. It's amazing. Well, it is just genius because it is your genius. It is part of your genius. So
love that unpacking.
Okay. So
that will help us to unpack more now from the book. Great.
Okay. So let's look at a few clever people who have done a lot of research, and they have compared a lot of geniuses out there. And they found this of the traditional understanding of these geniuses, very well known people over the world, that have just done remarkable things. These are some of the qualities that these individuals have: the ability to delve into their unique creativity, an insatiable curiosity, an intense focus, a remarkable adaptability, and unwavering persistence. They are abstract thinkers, they are risk takers, and they reject routine. Hmm. Now that, when I listen to those things, I'm thinking, okay, they're talking about entrepreneurs here.
Hmm.
They're talking about qualities that entrepreneurs naturally just have.
Yeah.
And let me just say for the record here, when it says reject routine, I firmly believe that routine is good. There is good in routine and rhythms. What this refers to is they're not satisfied with the monotonous settling mentality.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what that refers to, just for the record. Before everybody goes and speak to their bosses tomorrow and say, let's get rid of this and this routine and that. Some things
it's
need
because of what
routine.
Anton said.
Yeah, Anton, that guy who dresses up for Women's Day.
Yeah, the guy with the red eyes.
That's a red eye, Anton. So in this book, Patrick Lencioni, he really stumbled onto, before the book, the book really tells the story of how this tool came about. Now, a little bit about himself today. I mean, he's the founder and CEO of a remarkable organization and business and company called The Table Group. The Table Group. And right off the cuff, I love to give people pointers to some free resources, because it's great to have books or access to tools, but there's always a price tag to most of these things. And so most of these people are there to also support and help and spread and share what they've learned.
Mm.
Of course, you've got to monetize things to live and sustain yourself, but they always love
giving. There's a part
giving.
Where they can.
There's a part with this free source. Love and in it. in this case, they have a phenomenal podcast, and he leads this podcast, and it is called At the Table. You can find that on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and it is life changing content week after week when you sit across a table from one of the foremost experts in leadership and business, and in his simple and approachable style, Pat tackles every topic related to the world of work, and some that aren't, from culture to family to building world-class organization. He brings his wisdom, his humor. He's a remarkably funny guy. The book also is full of quips and funny little things and very down to earth. And he says, for instance, straight off the cuff, that he didn't come up with this concept. It was born and birthed out of a frustration. Out of a frustration that one of his co-workers asked him a question out of curiosity. and asked him and said, Patrick, she started to notice that there were certain times and certain moments in certain parts of certain projects or processes of the working life that he became more and more grumpy. He became more and more not so nice to be around.
Patrick.
This is him, yes. And so one of his working colleagues asked him one day, why are you like this? And she did it not in a way
criticizing.
Why? It was, I'm curious. This is not like you, but sometimes this is you. Why is that? That you, who I know is like this, sometimes seem to become grumpy and irritable. And why is that? And they started to really look at it and try to figure out, why is it? And so what they started to do was to look at his daily routines and his daily tasks and the activities that he was taking on and the jobs he was taking on, etc., etc. At that time, they had set up a marketing consulting firm. And so what they started to notice is there were certain parts of the marketing consulting that Patrick was thriving and he was coming alive and he was joyful and he was funny because he's a funny guy. And so he would have fun and he would be playful. And then there were certain parts of the project, of the service delivery, where he became this grumpy old grinch who stole Christmas. And soon they realized that there are certain things that he does in his work week, in his work activities, that he actually does not like. And rather than saying it's just things he doesn't like, they came to give it a language, and they called it frustrations. These were frustrations. These were things that he didn't just do naturally and enjoyed naturally and gave him life, but these were things that he also had to do that actually he just didn't like doing.
Mm.
And on that day, on that moment, and the book beautifully tells it just straight like that, and I love that humility and the honest version of it, you know. It didn't take a genius to figure this out. It took a grumpy old guy to figure this out, you know. And so I don't want to be grumpy. How can we change this? So the curiosity around that is what really kind of, you know, gave birth
to genius.
True genius, birth. And brought forth this remarkable clarity of tool that we have today. And let me say, it's just one tool of many other tools that are out there. What I love about this one is it's very simplified. It's just, when you look at it, it's quite simple and clean and clear. So, the six types of working geniuses. Firstly, as a team, as they went on this journey, him and his team came to understand that any kind of work, any kind of project, any kind of task, any kind of service delivery or part of the business goes generally through three main phases. Mm. The first phase they identified as the ideation phase. And the last third phase they identified as the implementation phase. And generally, this is where they realized that most people, for them, it was common knowledge. You have to, anything starts with an idea. And then once you have the idea, you find a solution for the idea, and then you implement it. Mm. And they discovered that there was actually something in between. And most people didn't even realize that part really exists. And this was what they called the activation part. And so you have ideation, activation, implementation. Now, this was helpful because once they separated a one kind of marketing service job, for in their case, they split it in three. And very quickly, some of them in the room recognized, ooh, that's the part I don't like. It was just naturally. It was just like, ooh, I don't like that part. I'm an ideas guy, right? I come up with ideas and this and that, but to implement it, no, that's not my thing. And then they understood, but there's this part in the middle, and this was the activation, because when you go from idea to implement, you don't even know if the idea, it hasn't been tested, right? You don't know if the idea, even and the solution is realistic, right? So you implement something that you haven't tested. And these are what they refer to as the discerners. And there are people who might be seemingly critical about the idea of the visionary or the ideas guy, but they're not necessarily critical. They're asking questions and they're poking questions because they're trying to discern whether this can work and will work. And that's a specific kind of perspective and a specific kind of thinker in the organization. Now, I can relate to this because I have found those individuals in the past quite frustrating.
They seem to be standing outside and slowing down the vision and questioning the vision.
Right.
But actually, they're not.
They're not. They're discerners. And I used to refer it in my own words as individuals who are going against rather than go with. Let's just go with this. Just go with this. However, they are not go withers, right? They are discerners. And so discerners ask questions so that they can figure out, okay, as you go with your idea, as you build and develop your solution, which you are great at, so these are what they call the wanderers and the innovators. As you do that, we, the discerners, are going to just poke a little bit so that if you find on the way, oh, I didn't think of that. Oh, I didn't consider that. Oh, you can immediately adapt and change and tweak it, right? Mm. And they recognized this in their team, right? They didn't have all that language yet, but they started to scribble it down, and they had A-frames and whiteboards and stuff. This all just took place over a course of a few days that they started to brainstorm it. And in that activation phase, they also realized that there were some people who would already start to say, okay, this idea, do you know what? Jenny will be great at that part of it. And, John will be excellent there. And, Steve will be great there. And, you know, et cetera. Ooh, sorry.
Richard.
Well, let's leave Richard for now. We'll find him something to do. Okay. So they would, and these were what they call the galvanizers.
Okay.
These were people that are great to identify who matches where and what, and then we'll be able to actually go and get those people together, right? And start getting a team that will actually be the people who can do this. And of course, your last phase, you have the implementers. And these are people, this is quite key, because within your implementation phase, you have two distinct different kind of geniuses as they identified them. And these were the enablement geniuses. These were the supporters, supporting people.
Hmm.
And I can identify at our organization, at the Sozo Foundation, there are specific individuals that I know. They are not necessarily the ideas people. They are not necessarily the curious questions people. But if you give something and you ask them to support that process, they are solid. Mm-hmm. I know they will be there and they will support this program or this project or this this idea, and they will make sure that they are there. They are supporters. We sometimes call them just like servants, servant-hearted. You know, they're just there. They're always there to support. Those are the supporters. That's their genius. And put them in a room when you're saying to them, look, we have this challenge and this problem. Let's throw a few ideas around the room. They will just be sitting.
Yeah.
Because it's not their go-to.
Yeah.
They'll feel frustrated in the room. Just tell me what to do or who's going to do what. I'll be there. I'll show up and you can count on me. We need those people.
Mm.
And then lastly, most, I think, importantly for me, and I say that personally.
Implementation phase. First one was the supporters.
Right. And then the second one in that phase is what they called tenacity, the tenacity genius. These are the people who have the perseverance to make sure that anything that's implemented gets done to the end. It is the finishing off of the project. Mm. Now, I can tell you that's where I'm completely not interested, right? That's where I'm like, I'm not interested. And I'm not a finisher. Mm. I'm already jumping onto the next new thing. And I'm asking, ooh, that, how can we do that different? Why do we do this like that? What about that?
And for someone who likes to finish well, to finish strongly, that tenacity, that kind of left is thinking, here comes another idea. Really?
Absolutely.
I haven't finished this one.
I honestly, listeners, guys, when I listened to this book on audio, I was laughing so much because I saw myself and my team and the times we clash so often, and I could see some of my team's faces when they have these wide eyes when we've just started this, we're just busy with this, and now we've almost got it, you know, knuckled down, and now you're onto another thing. And it seems to those individuals that this guy's just jumping onto the next thing and the next thing, but it's not that he's jumping onto the next thing. He's operating in his genius. Now, how do we make this just really, how do we take this concept that these guys logically came on as a team and they kind of rumbled through this? I mean, if you read or listen to the audiobook, there were some tense moments in that room because quite a few of these things are quite exposing, you know, and so it requires a level of maturity when you identify, oh, that is absolutely you, Steve. You are absolutely that. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment like, Steve, I can see you don't like doing that at all. It's like, what do you mean? I like admin. I mean, I'm good at admin. What do you mean? Like, you know, there's a level of exposure that happens here. So doing it playfully is really, really the way to go about it.
Yeah.
It's not about you are bad at something and you are great at something. It's, oh, now I understand this is a frustration for you. And that's why.
It's a good word, that.
It's an excellent word. And don't we have many frustrations in our organizations, in our business, in our companies, you know? Hmm. There are many frustrations. And so where do we start by identifying who's sitting around the table or who's thinking in which way? And so I want to highlight someone who's really been doing a lot of research into this. And also speaking very, very much a lot of clarity into this space. And this is Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
And we know him from the book. I think the book that brought him to most of the world's attention was Start With Why. However, he's talking a lot at the moment about diversity and inclusion. Now, let me just say, in an election week that we've just had, past, that word will have different meaning for South Africans in our context than what these guys and what he is speaking into. And I think that's where we really need to have a mind shift ourselves. Mm. Because what he's saying in terms of organizational leadership, growth, strength, and ultimately what all these great minds are working and searching for is to have more healthy organizations, because they have found again and again and again where there is a healthy organization and a healthy culture, those organizations, those businesses, those companies flourish and thrive. Their profits soar. Everybody is happier. Their productivity is up. And they have a third of their life that they spend at work is a joyful time. Mm. And rather than a frustrating time.
Yeah.
So what he's talking about, diversity and inclusion, is he's saying that when we as leaders are sitting around the table, we need to ask ourselves, firstly, who are the thinkers that we have here? Who are the geniuses? Okay, we identify your genius is this, your genius. If we're sitting with five people around the table and all five of them are ideas people, Can
no,
you think how
much activation,
yes,
no implementation.
How little is going to happen after that, right? It's going to be a great time, right? We'll be having fun.
Having high fives.
Yeah, we'll leave the room
and, then do
and that's it, you know? And nothing happens, right? So you need to think strategically as a leader. I need this thinker in the room. And now if you don't have that thinker in your C-suite top level exec, you need to go borrow a galvanizer, maybe a galvanizer from the accounts department or a tenacity person from the accounts department, just to sit in the room to help you also understand that you're going to need A, B, C, D, E, right? And so now suddenly it's harnessing the collective genius that is within your workforce. Right? And it's not limiting people to say that when you are creating a marketing campaign, let's get everybody in the marketing department together. Well, naturally, those are going to be more creative, kind of innovative ideas, kind of dreaming, wondering kind of persons or people. Do we have the activators in that room as well? Do we have a different perspectives in that room? So when they're talking about diversity and inclusion, they say we need to include diverse thinkers, different thinkers around us as leaders. Are we surrounded by people who think exactly the same as us, and therefore whenever we come up with something or we decide something, they all agree? Is that the most healthiest thing in the organization, in the company, in the business? And how do we just stop for a second and say, okay, let's just have a little acid test. Let's just check, what do you love about what you're currently doing? What do you feel is like, it's okay, I can do that. I don't mind doing that. It doesn't
doesn't make me come alive.
Right, but it doesn't kill me either. It's not, but then this part, that's the part I leave for very late on a Friday, so I can really rush it off. And so they also identify that most people, again, this is averages and research they've done, most people tend to have two geniuses, right? And they tend to have two, what they call their, I'm going to miss the word here, but I think they call them something like just average, like, these are they can do it, they have abilities, these are abilities, their abilities. And then they have two frustrations. And so those two will sit in different parts of the ideation phase or the activation phase
or the
implementation phase. And so every one of us in the work we do, there are certain things that we have to do that's not our, happy place, but it's okay. We do it. It's not the frustration. And so that's normal and natural. That concept is quite alluring to say, do what you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. It sounds beautiful, but the reality is that at some stage you've got to do some level of admin and you're going to do some finance, you've got to do some. So there are certain things that, even if you do what you love, there are certain things that you're going to do that's not necessarily
always what you love.
Yeah. However, if you are spending constant time doing the things that frustrate you, you need to find someone who loves doing that. Now, I can tell you now, there are people who love doing the things I loathe doing. There are people whose genius is just that.
Sure.
And when you meet them, when you see them, when you bring them in, for instance, we made a strategic decision 2 years ago to invest in bringing in a qualified chartered accountant with that skill set, that level of expertise and that level of knowledge into the organization. It came at a cost. But I can tell you that person she's now our chief financial officer. She is sitting side by side with me in every single meeting of decision making, because her genius is to look at the numbers, look at the reality, and then stretch the risks with me. But I know if she says we can stretch it by this, she's comfortable with that, I know then I don't have to think about it.
Okay.
Then we go with it. So these aren't people who limit you, who block you, who stop you, but they are there to support you. And the ideas and the ideations that I sit with, she would be the one to say, Anton, she's not there to say to me, great idea or not, right? She's, unless she's a discerner as well, right? So then it's great to have that as well. But she's a finisher and she's systematic with that, right? So she makes sure right till the end, what is it going to look like? Is it going to be enough cash flow to finish this thing? Or what will be the impact further down the line? I'm just thinking kickstart here. And so if that individual sits and says, this, great, I hear you. Can you wait 6 months? Because I see there's some cash injection coming there.
And you listen.
And she says, for instance, yesterday in a meeting that we had with our operations officer and finance officer, and the finance officer says to me, Anton, this idea that you have to shift and move the coffee school and expand it and bring the beauty school in and expand that and to create more space there for the staff and expand that, she said, it sounds fantastic. Are you willing for me to shift off the budget the air conditioning systems that you want to implement? Are you willing to sacrifice them? I said, absolutely. She said, go for it. She said, I found the money and you're good. And so these different thinkers are vital to have around us as leaders. They are in our organizations, they're in our business, in our companies. You might find the receptionist is a great ideator.
Sure.
You might never have asked her. So start with curiosity. Ask people more questions. And if anything, I want to repeat what I always say to myself as well. People won't care about how much I know until they know how much I care.
Mm.
And the very root word of curiosity is the word cura, which means care. And that's where we find our interest in others rather than just self. And that's where we find the gold in our organizations.
What a delightful discussion about genius. And thank you for starting at the point of correcting the right etymology of the word genius.
Right.
That really helped a lot. Thank you. Loved it. Richard?
Thank you very much, Anton. And thank you, Steve. We'll touch base again 2 weeks' time. Anton, really appreciate you giving your time and breaking that down. And I think it certainly answered the question that was put out there. And how to find the genius in your organization, because it's not a genius, it's the genius, which I thought was very cool. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you,
Richard. Thank you, Richard. Thanks for having
listeners.
Me. Take care.